You're listening to the Earn That Body Podcast, episode number 351.
Welcome to the Earn That Body Show with Kim Eagle. Kim is an award-winning personal trainer. She trains her clients all over the world online and is passionate about empowering people by getting fit and healthy.
All I see on the internet are posts that say, strength training, strength training, strength training. Everybody should be strength training. And if you're in perimenopause or menopause, you should be strength training. And you should only be strength training, strength training. And I have clients coming to me and they're like, do I need to do more strength training? Should I be strength training every day? And all everybody can say is strength training. It's driving me crazy. Strength training is amazing. But let me tell you guys something. It is not the only form of exercise that you should be doing, whether you're 18, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and up. You actually do need cardiovascular exercise. Today, I'm going to tell you the three biggest things you need to know about cardiovascular exercise for women in that new stage of life. So perimenopause to menopause to postmenopause. Some cardiovascular fitness does change a little bit, or there are some recommendations that change, but by no means should you be skipping that cardio. It is absolutely essential. And so I really feel like right now, social media is doing a huge disservice to women by making it seem like strength training is the only thing that is needed. So the first thing I want to tell you is that not only do I believe that you should be doing more cardio, I'm going to talk to you about an article from Healthline. There was even something in Oprah Daily. We all know Oprah has some great articles out there. And I thought it was important because in the article, it says the article is actually about menopause. It was talking all about the things that you needed for menopause. And they definitely do talk about strength training. But then they also said, additionally, the Department of Health and Human Services suggests moderate cardio, like walking, at least 150 minutes a week, or vigorous cardio, like a kick cardio kickboxing class, for at least 75 minutes a week. So yes, everyone, they are still saying that you need cardiovascular exercise. And they're not just talking about simple walking. They also said you do need some vigorous cardio. However, again, for women in this new stage of life, so we're talking perimenopause, which perimenopause can go on starting in your 30s. It can go on and on for a long time. So I can't really say this is only for women in their 40s and 50s or 50s and up. If you're in perimenopause, if you're having any symptoms of perimenopause, which can go on for a long time, then this could apply to you, but you still got to get in that cardio. So let's first talk about number one, why you need cardio, even in this new stage of life. And this goes for everybody. This goes for why everybody needs cardiovascular activity. First of all, I want to make it clear that aerobic exercise is any activity that gets your blood pumping and large muscle groups working, and that is known as cardiovascular activity. So when I say we need to do cardio, we're talking about cardiovascular activity. We're talking about primarily aerobic exercise, although definitely some anaerobic we will talk about as well. So examples of aerobic exercise can be anything from brisk walking, swimming, gardening, they say, although I personally don't get my cardiovascular system going from gardening, but I guess if you were really speeding along doing your planting, I don't know. I definitely get strength work from gardening. They also say running, cycling, things like playing soccer, and the experts recommend 150 minutes of moderate aerobic exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous activity each week. But why is aerobic exercise recommended? Well, let's talk about the first reason, which is improving your cardiovascular health, which is literally what I tell my clients all the time who are coming to me saying, aren't I only supposed to strength train? And I say, no, by no means, because you need more for your cardiovascular health. Aerobic exercise is also recommended by the American Heart Association and by almost all doctors to people with or at risk for heart disease. And that's because exercise like this strengthens your heart and helps it more efficiently pump blood throughout the body. Now, what you have to understand is that cardiovascular exercise can also help lower blood pressure and keep your arteries clear by raising good high-density lipoprotein, that HDL cholesterol, and lowering bad LDL cholesterol levels in the blood. If you're specifically looking to lower blood pressure and cholesterol, they recommend 40 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity aerobic exercise between 3 to 4 times each week. Now listen, why would we get older and then not need to take care of our cardiovascular health? It's just, that is ridiculous to think that you should stop doing cardiovascular exercise as you age. Again, we're gonna talk about some things that need to shift in our cardiovascular exercise, but what we aren't shifting is the fact that we still need it. Now, another reason that you need it is because it does lower blood pressure. Cardiovascular exercise may help you manage symptoms of high blood pressure, and that's because exercise can help lower your blood pressure. And there's other ways to lower blood, I should say, this is a great way to lower blood pressure without needing medication. Now, you still might need medication too, but cardiovascular exercise is one of those wonderful non-medical, or I should say medicine needing ways to get your blood pressure down. So why would we not want to keep our blood pressure lower as we age? We absolutely definitely need to. Another reason to do cardiovascular activity is because regular physical activity helps regulate your insulin levels and lower blood sugar, all while keeping your body weight in check. And we've always known that cardiovascular exercise can help weight as well. And in a study on people with type 2 diabetes, researchers found that any form of movement, aerobic or anaerobic, can have these wonderful effects on regulating blood sugar. Again, why would we not need that as we age? We absolutely do. Now, for some people who have chronic back pain, cardiovascular exercise, specifically low impact activities like swimming, even aqua aerobics, can help. It definitely helps me. I actually have some chronic back pain, and when I do cardiovascular activity, I generally leave that activity feeling much better. So it can definitely help with certain kinds of chronic pain. Now, this one's super important because it aids sleep. Now, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, they say that you should try some cardiovascular exercise during the day. How many people in perimenopause are having trouble sleeping? Hello, a ton, even in postmenopause, I guess, right? So wouldn't we want to do some kind of exercise that actually helps with sleep? A study on individuals with chronic sleep issues revealed that a regular exercise program combined with sleep hygiene education is an effective treatment for insomnia. Participants engaged in aerobic activity for 16 weeks and then completed questionnaires about their sleep and general mood. The activity group reported better sleep quality and duration, as well as improvements in their daytime wakefulness and vitality. Now, they do say that exercising too close to bedtime can make it more difficult to fall asleep. So I personally say you want to finish that workout at least 2 hours before you go to bed. Personally, I like to get the workouts done in the morning. It sort of helps revive you, refresh you, keep you going through the day. I find it can be a little too stimulating to work out in the evening. because it can impact your sleep. However, it's still better to exercise in the later part of the day if you have to than not exercise at all. But should you do cardiovascular exercise because it benefits your sleep? Absolutely, right? These are things that I'm just like laughing when people say strength training, strength training, strength training, because cardiovascular exercise has a place too. How about the fact that it strengthens your immune system? Researchers at Pennsylvania State University examined active and sedentary women and the impact of exercise on their immune systems. One group exercised on a treadmill for 30 minutes. Another group did a burst of intense activity over 30 seconds. And the last group did not exercise. All women had their blood taken before, after, and at different intervals in the days and weeks after these exercise sessions. The results showed that regular and moderate aerobic exercise increases certain antibodies in the blood called immunoglobulins. That ultimately strengthens the immune system, team. The sedentary group of women saw zero improvement in immune system function, and their cortisol levels were much higher than those in active groups, which is really interesting because something that we definitely do talk about in perimenopause is that we want to not do too much cardiovascular, too much intensity in our workouts, too much duration, etc., because we get too much high cortisol, which definitely is a negative thing as we are in this new stage of life. But in this particular case, they are saying the sedentary women saw no improvement in immune system function and their cortisol levels were actually higher. We don't want higher. So we still need to do cardiovascular workouts because it might be helping it in some ways. It also improves brain power. And I certainly think that as we hit this stage, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, we do all need a little extra help in brain power because unfortunately, we do sort of get that perimenopause, menopause brain fog, as they like to call it. So did you actually know that the brain starts losing tissue after you reach the age of 30? I did not know that personally. Scientists have uncovered that aerobic exercise may slow this loss and improve cognitive performance. To test this theory, 55 older adults submitted magnetic resonance imaging, which is just an MRI scan, for evaluation. The participants were then examined to assess their health, including aerobic fitness. The adults who were most fit showed fewer reductions in frontal, parietal, and temporal areas of the brain. Overall, their brain tissue was more robust. So what does this mean for you? Aerobic exercise does the body and the brain good. So we definitely need to keep doing it. Cardiovascular exercise also boosts our mood. Moving our body, it definitely improves our mood. In one study on individuals with depression, participants walked on a treadmill doing intervals for 30 minutes a session. After 10 days, they were asked to report any changes in their mood. All participants reported a significant reduction in their symptoms of depression. These results suggest that engaging in exercise, even if it's for a short period of time, you guys, may have a big impact on your mood. You don't need to wait almost 2 weeks to see improvement. The study results revealed that even a single exercise session, just one, you guys, may be enough to give you that boost. Super important. We definitely need that increase in mood in all stages of life. Also, exercise that is cardiovascular tends to be on the free side, tends to be on the cheap side because you can just go outside and go for a power walk, a jog. Those kind of things don't cost money. So in a sense, cardiovascular exercise, it's more affordable and accessible because honestly, strength training, you have to either buy dumbbells, buy free weights, get a barbell, that kind of thing, or join a gym. So cardiovascular activity, more affordable, more accessible, all of these things are such an important part of our health, okay? We absolutely need to continue doing cardiovascular activity, no matter what the internet is highlighting right now. Now, here's the thing. The internet is highlighting that women should be strength training. I mean, they really are highlighting men should be also, and we should be. And we do have to focus on strength training, and we've talked about it in some previous episodes. The reason is because as we age, we start to lose muscle mass. Men do and women do. It's a bigger issue for women because typically we go into our older years with, we don't have as much muscle as the men had. So the more muscle you have going into your older years, the better you're gonna be. But you don't wanna just go into your older years with the muscle that you had and not continue to strength train, or perhaps you never strength trained, but you just had a lot of muscle. You want to keep strength training and you want to do everything you can to continue building muscle, since you know you're already going to be losing muscle. So strength training is super important, and you should be doing some kind of strength work 2 to 3 times per week. And I'm talking full body. So a typical week for me is 1 to 2 full body strength days with weights, and then usually some kind of yoga, which is body weight strength training. At least that's how I use it. I do some pretty pretty intense yoga, and it's a lot of body weight movement. So that is 3 days. Or I will do 1 heavy strength training day, 1 lighter strength training day, and then the yoga day. So often I will mix these things up each week, but I get 3 days of some kind of strength training in. Now, I do just want to do a little side note, because this is another thing that's become a problem on the internet. Lift heavy, lift heavy, lift heavy. Heavy is relative. It is relative to each person, because what my heavy is might be way different than what your heavy is. And I think when you say everybody has to lift heavy, it can almost be terrifying for some people. For one, if you don't strength train at all, and now someone's telling you, look, you just turned 50, you need to start strength training, it's gonna benefit you, you've got to do this, you've got to lift heavy. But if this person has never strength trained before, and now, like, in their mind, they're thinking CrossFit heavy, they're thinking, oh, these people with these enormous barbells with a ton of weight, and they're thinking, I can't do that, I'm not strong enough. And therefore, they end up not strength training at all because they're terrified of what heavy lifting means. Heavy lifting, to me, simply means lifting at whatever level you are at to a level of fatigue. So if a bicep curl for you is a 5-pound weight and you can only do that 8 times because by the 8th time you can barely get the weight up, guess what? 5 pounds is your heavy, and that is super fine and super okay. But a lot of people would be like, 5 pounds isn't heavy enough. You're not gonna do anything with 5 pounds. You are if 5 pounds for you feel super heavy and gets you to that level of fatigue. I bet you almost all of my clients are stronger than I am in terms of how much weight they can bench press or how much even maybe they do in a bicep curl. But I get fatigue by 8 to 10 reps of whatever it is I'm doing, and therefore that is what is appropriate for me. To push yourself to a level that is even past that is only going to create injury or the potential for injury. So don't be afraid by this whole heavy lifting. What I say is lift heavy enough that by the 8th to 10th rep, you are so fatigued that you can barely do another one. That kind of strength training is what you should be doing at least 1 to 2 a week with some other kind of strength training after. That's strength training, but we still need the cardiovascular activity. For one, for all the reasons I just told you, because there are all of those other health benefits that are so important. Now, the second thing you need to know about cardiovascular activity in this new stage of life is that, yes, there are some changes that need to be made as you get older. The change that I am recommending that you should be doing is that the intensity level of your cardio workouts is going to be, or probably should be, a shorter duration. And this has to do with the fact that in perimenopause, we don't want to have our cortisol levels spiking too high because we're already going through a lot in perimenopause. And so if you are feeling those hot flashes, if you are having trouble sleeping, then super intense exercise like strong, super intense cardiovascular exercise for really long periods can just increase the cortisol and sort of make all of those symptoms even more intense and worse. And typically that will also impact weight. So if you are gaining weight in these older years and you're really struggling to keep it off, it might be time to take the intensity of your cardiovascular workouts down a little bit and or just reduce the duration that you are doing the intensity. So a perfect example would be that I used to go out and I used to do these really long runs and they used to be at pretty high intensity levels. I don't do that anymore. Now, partly I don't do that because I have a knee injury and so I can't run anymore, but partly also because I now see how my body has responded to perimenopause and I know that I can't or I shouldn't be pushing my body at that high intensity for such a long time anymore. And so now what I do short bursts of cardiovascular activity for shorter durations than I used to do them. Perfect example, like if you did the Lean workout program that just launched recently, we did a lot of cardiovascular intensity in a 1 minute duration times 12 or in a 2 minute duration times I think it was 8 or a 4 minute duration. So we were doing these work really hard for 1 minute and then fully recover. Work really hard for 1 minute and then recover. So these short bursts versus this long intensity for long, long periods. It doesn't have to be like that when you hit this age. So do you still need to do cardio? Yes, but less intensity and or for less amount of time. Now, the third biggest thing you need to know about cardio in this stage of life is that you probably do need to add something that you maybe have not been doing. Again, it's something that was a big focus of the Lean workout program, and that is doing more cardio in your zone two. Now, zone two, I did an entire podcast episode on several weeks ago. So I highly recommend if you're interested in learning more about zone two training, go back to that podcast episode and check it out. But basically what zone two cardio is you are working out at a pretty low level of intensity. Now, I consider zone one to be a very easy warm up. Just like, I mean, I'm not going to say it's the same level as brushing your teeth and walking up the stairs, but it's not much harder. That's zone one, right? So first you would do a zone one, easy warm up. It's like your heart rate isn't even up yet. Zone two is going to be right above that. Zone two is that space where you start to feel your heart rate coming up. You start to get a little bit breathy. And at the top of zone two, at the higher level of zone two, you can talk, but it's starting to get a little bit uncomfortable. That is the top of zone two. You don't want to go past that because once you go past that, you're in zone three, and that is a different zone, and that's not what we want you to do. So we're talking about zone two cardio. It is a small window of intensity. It is not very intense at all. It is just intense enough that you are starting to feel the heart beating and you get a little tiny bit uncomfortable, but that's it. Then you have to stop. Now, you can use a heart rate monitor to determine your zone, but what a lot of people realized in the Lean Workout Program is that that number on the watch, it might not reflect where you get to that breathy place where you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And that's because a watch is determined by an equation that is determined by your age, and that there's no way that one equation can put everybody in the right spot because everyone's at a different level of fitness. So my zone two at 51 years old is definitely going to be different than the zone two of the 51-year-old next to me who never works out. That person, their heart rate monitor equation might be perfect for them. For me, I probably have to work just a little bit harder than what the actual heart rate monitor says on my watch. Although I will be honest, almost always when I look at my watch and I'm starting to feel breathy, I am in my zone. That's actually calculated by the equation. None of that will make sense to you if you have not listened to that Zone 2 podcast, but that's just a little bit about Zone 2. So here's the thing. The three biggest things you need to know about cardio at this new stage of life. New stage of life meaning you're starting to feel hormone shifts, ladies. Like maybe your period now comes and goes, right? It's the start of perimenopause. Maybe you already hit menopause, maybe you're postmenopausal. These are the three things you need to know about cardio. One, you still need it. I just told you all the reasons why. Two, the intensity of your cardio might need to drop a little bit, and or the duration of your cardio might need to drop a little bit. So maybe instead of doing cardio 7 days a week, you're only doing it 3 to 4 days a week now. Maybe instead of hitting it hard with a hard 1 hour cycle class at SoulCycle, 4 to 5 days a week, you are no longer doing that, but you are making much shorter durations of lower intensity. And the third thing you will want to do is you will want to add more zone two cardio into your life. And that is not always going to be at the top of zone two, just so you know. Sometimes I walk my dog every day, and often I'm in the bottom of zone two. Like I can feel it. I'm definitely not in zone one, but I'm also not like super uncomfortable. I'm still in zone two, and that's fine. You don't have to be at the top of zone two every day, but you want to be moving your body more. And so zone two cardio several times a week is also amazing and so essential for your body. By no means should you only be doing strength training. Should you be doing strength training? Absolutely. But should you be doing cardio? Absolutely. When it comes down to it, cross training is always going to be the best thing you can do at any age. So keep moving your body in all ways, team. And when you do that, you are taking care of everything. And that's the Earn That Body podcast, always here to bring you fitness, health, and nutrition information you can put into play right away.
For more information about Kim Eagle's online programs, go to earnthatbody.com or check out Earn That Body on all forms of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube.